So let me read John chapter 13 from verse 36, and I'm going to go through to 14, verse 6. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Straight over to Carl.
Thank you for reading, Mikey. As I said, welcome to everybody. It's a real pleasure to be with you today. Now, I think most of you are probably going to find this quite sad on my part, but I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. So actually, it feels really good to confess that and get it off my chest. I see I've got another one in the corner there, which is great. So if you were going to offer me a backstage or access all areas pass to a Springsteen concert, then I'd be over the moon. I'd be so excited. I'd do everything that I could to make sure that I could get there. The babysitter would be arranged, the travel would be sorted, and it would be on my mind permanently until the day of the big event. It would be the thing that I'm really looking forward to. Access all areas, backstage pass to the boss. I cannot wait. What would it be for you? Like maybe it would be another artist, or perhaps a day behind the scenes at Silverstone on Formula One Day, or maybe even like the TV show of your choice. You can go behind the scenes as they're filming it, meet the crew and the staff. Just imagine for a second how excited you'd be if you could get that pass. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Well, as exciting as that may be, what Jesus is talking about in our passage today, well, whatever there is here on earth, it cannot compare in the slightest. Jesus is offering you an access all areas pass to his heavenly kingdom. This is the pass that you should be clamoring for. This is the pass that if you've got it, you shouldn't be able to forget about it. Why? Well, because you're being offered a ticket to a place of eternal joy. A place where the Bible says there'll be no more tears, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more sadness, to an unending celebration. And you're going to share it with a loving family and with Jesus right there at the center. So imagine that for a second. All access passes to the kingdom of God. And that's what's on offer this lunchtime. So it should beg the question, shouldn't it? How is it possible? How do we get there? Well, to answer that, we're going to look at what Jesus himself says. And we're going to break it down into 3 points, which are on the handouts. The first one is that Jesus must die for us. The second is that Jesus must prepare a place for us. And the third is that Jesus is the only way through the door. So that first point, Jesus must die for us. So please, if you would, have a look down at the church Bibles at chapter 13, verse 36 to 38. So in the prior verses, Jesus told his disciples he's going somewhere and they can't come. So Peter, in verse 36, he understandably asks, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus responds, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards." And Peter doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. He says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus responds, "Will you lay down your life for me?" So what's going on in these verses? What has Peter not yet understood? Well, this conversation comes the night before Jesus was to die on the cross. So before Peter can do anything for Jesus, Jesus first has to die for Peter. And it's the same for us. If we're to receive anything from Jesus, we must accept that Jesus needs to die for us. And if we can't accept this, then access to the kingdom of God is off the table. Why is this so? Why must Jesus die? Well, because of the problem of sin. Up front in the gospel, Jesus is named as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This means that Jesus is the promised sacrificial lamb who has come to die for the sin of the world. But what is sin? Well, in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Jesus says this: "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him." So sin, well, it's a failure to honour God, to live in God's world with no reference to him. And we're all guilty of this. Yet despite our guilt, despite our failure to treat God as we should, well, God wonderfully loves us enough to provide a solution to our sin. God gives Jesus, his only son, to die for the world so that those who believe in him can escape judgment and have eternal life. Jesus came to rescue us from the just judgment of God and to give us eternal life. Which means if we fail to honor Jesus, if we refuse to believe in him, we're actually saying to God the Father, "I didn't need you to do that. I'm okay, thanks. My sin isn't an issue. You wasted your time sending your son to die for me." Now, can you imagine saying that to a parent of someone whose child had just given their life to rescue you? It would be so hurtful. Yet we all do this to God. We all live in God's world our way. We fail to honor him. And when we live our way, well, I know from my own personal experience that we hurt others as a consequence. In the things we say, the things we do, or perhaps even the things we don't say and don't do. And the Bible shows us, well, God is just to judge sin, that he won't turn a blind eye to it. And the punishment for sin in the Bible is death and judgment. So this is what Jesus was talking about in chapter 5, verse 22. All judgment has been given to him. And that judgment is to be eternally separated from God, to be excluded from the kingdom of heaven, to have that anguish of being isolated and apart from all that's good forevermore. And this is our status if we're not trusting in Jesus. If we don't accept that Jesus needed to die in our place to take the punishment for our rejection of God, then the Bible says that we're dead in our sins and we're condemned already. That we failed to honour the Son and therefore failed to honour the Father who sent him. And this is something that Peter came to recognise. Back in chapter 13, verse 38, where Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Well, that's exactly what happened that night. Before Jesus died, Peter denied him three times. And then Peter wept bitterly, recognizing his sin. Peter came to know if he's to have any share in God's kingdom, well, he first needed Jesus to die for him. And it's the same for me, and it's the same for you. The price for our sin, it must be paid. And it's only Jesus who can pay it, because it was Jesus who lived in perfect obedience to his Father's will. It was Jesus who was without sin. It was Jesus who was the innocent, spotless lamb sacrificed on our behalf. And you know, as you trust in this, that Jesus' death paid the price for your sin, well, this incredible swap takes place. Jesus is given your record. He's given your sin. And in his death, he takes the judgment of God on your behalf. And you're given Jesus' sinless record. And you are granted life in his kingdom forever. So you are welcome in the kingdom of God. So if you want that all-access pass, well, you must accept that Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. And as you do this, you're given the pass. You're in God's kingdom. And this offer is available today. So if there's anyone in here who's entered this meeting and you're not yet trusting in Jesus, you're under God's condemnation, or simply place your trust in Jesus and you will leave this meeting no longer condemned by God, but much, much more than that, welcomed into his kingdom forever. Now, if you ask me, that sounds like a pretty good lunchtime. And then for those here who are Christian listening in, well, this offer is available to all of our colleagues. So why not prioritize making this invite to the kingdom of God, to those around you as you filter back into the city? Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, hang on a minute, Carl, how can we be sure of all this? How can we be sure that Jesus can give the access all areas pass? Well, the conversation between Jesus and his disciples continues. And we see Jesus speaking real words of comfort to his disciples as he explains how once he's been to the cross, once he's died for your sin and mine, well, he must go and prepare a place for us in God's kingdom, which is our second point, that Jesus must prepare a place for us. So to see this, please, if you would, have a look down at the start of chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Now, this is a staggering thing for Jesus to say. He's told them he's going somewhere they can't follow, that he's going to have to die. Yet he tells them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." So how can Jesus say such a thing? Well, because death was not the end for Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. This is the great comfort to all who believe. But we do need to believe. To see this, please look again at verse 1. Jesus says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." So the disciples and us today, well, we have to take Jesus at his word. We have to trust Jesus' promises. And what is Jesus promising to us? Well, please look down at verse 2 and 3. He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So what is Jesus doing at the moment? He's preparing a place for his disciples, for those who believe in him. And did you see? It says many rooms. So his kingdom is going to be packed. You definitely do not want to miss it. And you know, that word rooms translated means mansions. Jesus is preparing mansions in heaven for his disciples. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I can really get caught up in trying to build a mansion here. I'm chasing a bigger home. I'm wanting to spend more money improving the house that I've got. I'm never really satisfied with what I have. I can tie myself into a mortgage on a size of property I don't really need. And why do I do it? Well, because I fall into the trap of thinking, I need it all here. I must have it. This is it. And then I take my focus from serving God and the advance of his kingdom here, and I divert too much of my time, my resources, that I could use to serve God, and I use them for my own personal gain and comfort. And you know what? I know it's folly, because I know whatever I gain here, it's going to be nothing compared to what Jesus is preparing. There is a mansion in heaven waiting for me. Jesus is preparing it. And it's the same for you. And it's going to be beyond your wildest dreams. So we do not need to chase the mansion here. This is just a temporary destination. We must seek his kingdom first. Because for those who believe, the rewards are coming. And then I wonder if you notice that these mansions, Well, they also challenge the kind of lazy Western stereotype of God's kingdom, of heaven. And I don't know if you know what I mean about that, but I remember the Red Bull adverts where it was just people bored on a cloud, standing around with wings and a harp, not knowing what to do with themselves. No, God's kingdom is real. It's physical. There's going to be a place for us to dwell. And we're going to dwell there in security forever. No more worries about daily death tolls from COVID. No more headlines about the latest war or turmoil in the world. No more depression. No more anxiety. All the things that we and others do to spoil this world, gone. Gone forever. So if you're not yet trusting in Jesus, well, can you see how good this is? That this is the past to have. This is the one we should be queuing around the block for, pitching tents and camping overnight for, doing whatever it takes to secure. And if we have the pass, well, we should be inviting as many people as possible because the numbers are not limited. Jesus said, many rooms. But the time to accept the offer, well, that is limited. To see this, please look down at verse 3 and 4. Jesus will one day return and bring those who believe in him home. So did you see that in verse 3? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to take his people home. And you know what? That could even happen this afternoon. So please, don't put off accepting this invitation. Please, don't put off offering this invitation. But do you also notice how so far Jesus is doing everything? He's the one who must die. He's the one who returned to the Father. He's the one who's preparing a place. And he's the one who's going to return home to lead his people. And this is why his words, well, this is why they're words of comfort. They'd have comforted his original disciples, and they should be a comfort to his disciples today. So if you're trusting in Jesus, if you believe in his words in these verses and all that Jesus is doing, then Jesus is able to say, as he does in verse 4, and you know the way to where I'm going. Yet we see in verse 5, Thomas, well, he's still unclear, isn't he? He says, Lord, we do not know the way to where you're going. How can we know the way? And you know, I have a lot of sympathy for Thomas in asking this, because when Thomas asked, Jesus had not yet died. So not only do I have sympathy for Thomas for being unclear, well, do you know what? I am so grateful to him for asking this question. Why? Because he enables Jesus to give the clearest answer to our big question today. The question of how can we be sure of getting the Access All Areas pass? I mean, this response from Jesus is crystal clear. Access to God, entry to the kingdom of God, comes exclusively through Jesus, which is our third and final point. Jesus is the only way through the door. So to see this, please take a look at verse 6. And Jesus sums up in one sentence what we've seen so far today. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So do you see the exclusivity in what Jesus says? So he makes the same point that it's only through him twice. First, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So a positive statement. Then he finishes by being clear there's no other way. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So no one, a negative statement. And when we put that positive and negative together, well, they clearly rule out any other option. So let's start with a positive statement. I am the way and the truth and the life. So what does this mean? Why is Jesus the way? Well, I think this is because of what we've seen already. Entry to God's kingdom is completely reliant upon Jesus. He's got to do absolutely everything for us. But Jesus is also the truth. So Jesus is clear that the truth is not a concept, it's a person, it's him. So in this era of fake news, in this time where you're unable to be sure if you can trust the source of any news, where you're always second guessing, well, what's their agenda? Well, you don't need to do this with Jesus. This is Jesus's agenda. He came to rescue us from the judgment that our sin deserves and bring us into his kingdom forever. And every word that Jesus says is truth. Every word can be trusted. And Jesus is the life because it's only him who's conquered death. And it's only him who can see us safely from death to life, to dwell forever with God. So Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. But what about that negative statement? What about the no one? Remember, Jesus said, no one gets to the Father except through me. And again, with this negative statement, Jesus is being so clear. Clear, he's the only way. And you know, when Jesus said it, it had been offensive to many. And I can still understand why it upsets people today. Because Jesus is saying, it's all about me. Without me, you've no hope of getting into the kingdom of God. You have to come through me. Which means getting to God's kingdom, well, it can't depend on us. We can't make it on our own merits. And I think this is really important to hear, even though it's a hard thing to hear. Because often I chat to people in the city who seem to think that this is the case. We chat and they'll say that when they die, if there's a God, God's going to accept them on their own merits, that they're just good enough. Jesus says, not true. We can only get in on Jesus's merits. And I hope we can see that this has to be right. I hope we can see that it's a big assumption to make, that we think we can pay no regard to God or what he says. And when we meet him, well, he'll just welcome us with open arms. To think that the kingdom of God is available on our terms and not God's. But I wonder if you can also see how there being no other way rules out all other sets of belief. If no one gets to the Father except through Jesus, then no other religion will get you into God's kingdom. And again, I think this clarity from Jesus is so, so kind. He doesn't leave us guessing. Jesus is clear. Without him, you're cut off from God. And you know, that would have been a hammer blow to the Jewish people of the time. Jesus is telling them that their religion, well, it's now redundant. It won't lead them into the kingdom that they're yearning for. They're cut off from God. And if they want to change that, well, they have to walk away from their religion as it stands, and they have to believe in Jesus. And if Jesus is the truth, then this is the same today for followers of all other religions or none. Jesus is clear, you either believe in him or you don't. There's no third camp or position that anybody can take. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus. And you know, for me personally, as I've become a Christian, this is the biggest difference that I've seen between Christianity and other religions. So most other religions will give you a set of criteria that you've got to meet in order that you can try and earn a way up to God. So if you just do this and this and this and this, if you can meet these standards, then God's going to be pleased with you. So you can access God on your own merits and earn God's favor. And you know, I've found that that can promote elitism, the ability for people to look down on others, or what I find more commonly, and I think is worse, uncertainty. Do you know, I often meet people here in the city who are firm in their religion, yet they are unsure if they're right with God. And they feel like they're having to live up to impossible standards, and they feel like they've got some kind of cosmic bully. Well, Jesus takes all the pressure off. He levels the playing field when it comes to achievements. He's clear, we can't earn our way to God. We'll never be good enough to enter the kingdom on our own merits. We need to trust in him to do everything for us. Jesus says to us, trust in my life, my death, my resurrection, my return. And if you do trust in me, well, I will give you full access to my Father's house forever. I will open up the very gates of heaven for you. And when I began to explore Christianity, it was this message of grace, that the kingdom of heaven is a free gift, that Jesus has done everything for me to get in. Well, this helped to convince me Jesus was telling the truth, because I knew if it was down to me somehow being good or having to earn a place in his kingdom, well, I'd never be able to do it. But as I looked at Jesus, who offered me access to his kingdom as a gift, through simply believing his death paid the price for my sin, and that one day he'd return and he would take me home, well, that made so much more sense. It stopped God from being some cosmic bully that I needed to satisfy, and it let me entrust myself into the loving arms of a saving God who says, I will lead you home. I've done it all for you. And this is why I think all those who trust in Jesus can do what Jesus says in verse 1. Our hearts, they won't be troubled. So it doesn't mean we're walking around with our head in the clouds. It doesn't mean that we're unaffected by what happens to us or what's going on in the world around us. But our hearts will not be troubled in as much as we're assured of our place in heaven. We're no longer wondering where we're going. We're no longer worried about how we get there, because we trust in Jesus, who loves us enough to die for us in order that our sin could be forgiven, and who promises to return one day to lead us home so that we can dwell with him forever. So if you've never considered this before, well, I pray you would. I pray even today you would take Jesus up on his offer to believe in him and to receive your access all areas pass to the kingdom of God. Grab it with both hands before it expires. And for those of us who do trust in Jesus, well, my prayer is this wonderful assurance of your future in the kingdom of God will spur you on to serve God here in the city unashamedly and with complete confidence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection, for how you've opened up the kingdom of God and are preparing a mansion for all who believe. Lord, I pray that everyone here today would see how good this is and turn to you for forgiveness and acceptance in your kingdom. Lord, would this truth of this all-access pass be at the forefront of our minds? Lord, would we not forget it? And would it guide us in all we do and give us confidence to serve you here in the city? And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.